The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Hour number two. We had mentioned last hour, some of you may find yourselves at home or in challenging situations. Don't forget to download our smartphone app. I just got an email from a guy in Tupelo, Mississippi, who's listening on the KKLA app. Used to live here in Southern California, now listens in Tupelo and dealing with some trying circumstances. So don't hesitate to download our app, or obviously if you're at home, the Amazon Google Home Speaker thing is kind of a way to do it. And we are grateful and thankful that you support this radio program and this radio station. Lament. You ever study the Book of Lamentations? Years ago, when I was new in Christ, I did an internship at the church that my wife and I belonged to. And we were to write a paper on a particular part of the Bible that we were drawn to. And I wanted to do it on the Book of Lamentations. And I kind of got pulled over, and it was kind of funny. You really want to get into Lamentations? I mean, to lament? Really? That's kind of heavy stuff. And I didn't know. How many of us are in a season of lamenting right now? Do you even know what lament means? When I look to the Bible and I look to Psalms, Psalm 63, I earlier watched a devotional by Pastor Drew Sams, who we had on the program. He's doing these Psalm walks on Instagram, and it's become a regular part of my day and devotion. And Drew did his prayer walk today on Psalm 63, 6 through 8. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing my joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. What about lamenting? Check this out. This will challenge you. N.T. Wright is a professor. His area of expertise happens to be in early Christianity and also the New Testament. He's written a number of books. He has a little commentary that you can find. It's called Christianity Offers No Answers About the Coronavirus. It's not supposed to. Check this out. Professor N.T. Wright writes, "No doubt the usual silly suspects will tell us why God is doing this to us. A punishment, a warning, a sign. These are knee-jerk, would-be Christian reactions in a culture which, generations back, embraced rationalism. In other words, everything must have an explanation. But suppose it does not. Supposing real human wisdom doesn't mean being able to string together some dodgy speculations and say, so that's all right then. What if, after all, there are moments, such as T.S. Eliot recognized in the early 1940s, when the only advice was to wait without hope because we'd be hoping for the wrong thing. Stay with me." N.T. Wright continues with, "Rationalists, including Christian rationalists, want explanations. Romantics, including Christian romantics, want to be given a sigh of relief." But here's the sentence that tells it all. "But perhaps what we need more than either is to recover the biblical tradition of lament. Lament is what happens when people ask why and do not get an answer. It's where we get to when we move beyond our self-centered worry about our sins and failings and look more broadly at the suffering of the world. It is no part of the Christian vocation then to be able to explain what's happening and why. In fact, it is part of the Christian vocation not to be able to explain and to lament instead. As the Spirit laments within us, so we become, even in our self-isolation, small shrines where the presence and healing love of God can dwell. And out of that, there can emerge new possibilities, new acts of kindness, new scientific understanding, new hope, new wisdom for our leaders. Well, now there's a thought, writes N.T. Wright. 888-528-2557 are the phone numbers to call into the program. How are you, KKLA listeners? How are you faring? We're a couple weeks into this, and I don't know about you, but it seems like, for me, I have to be very intentional about not getting too far down the road, if you will. Right? I've said this a number of times on the program. Be careful of the prognosticators and people that have models and throw statistics out there as if they know. And I don't want to necessarily disavow what some of the experts are saying, but here's the truth. The truth is they actually do not know. And the truth is, nobody knows. Stay with me. But above all, we that surrender to Jesus and say yes to God, we believe He's sovereign. He knows what He's doing. Scripture is filled with all sorts of validations that God knows what He's doing. Let me share one last thing, and then we'll take some calls here. I think it was Pastor Tony Evans who said recently, and I read a bit of the interview, he said, depending on how big your God is, will determine how you're able to fare through these times. Little God, probably struggle a great deal. Great big God, you'll even thrive under these circumstances. And I pose that question to you rhetorically and directly. How big is your God? How big is our God? You know, there are people listening right now, and if I can just throw a wish out there, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but I just would love to talk to people that may not be strong in their faith or may not believe in the God of the Bible. Call. I'd like to know how you're doing. 888-528-2557. And obviously, those of us that are followers of Jesus, man, it's, and maybe Wednesday, April the 1st, but this is the day the Lord has made. How are we to live through these times? Maybe you're at home listening on your on your Amazon or Google home speakers, right? How about the new, you are teacher as well now with our children? I did a Facebook Live after the show yesterday and just kind of, I don't know, need a little downtime and connected with a bunch of folks. And one of the things I said is my heart goes out to all of the, mostly moms, there probably are a few dads, mostly moms that find yourself in the role of teacher now too. And depending on your school and how much work that they have put out, it can be really challenging and stressful. How's that going, right? And maybe you can share a blessing or a praise report. I know for me, over the weekend, I got out a little bit and actually said hi to neighbors I'd never really spoken with before. Seems like this time of spring, God's revealing himself all around in his beautiful creation. Just powerful sunsets and a real sweet time in the middle of all of this. How are you? Let us know. 888-528-2557. Cindy in Los Angeles. Cindy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I pray that you're well. Hey, I got my friends to listen to you at 3 o'clock, and they said they will join every 3 o'clock hour as much as they can for prayer.
Beautiful.
And one of my favorite chapters in Lamentations is chapter 3, 21. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God bless you, Frank. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Cindy. God bless you, too. And a shout out for the Book of Lamentations. It's really good. It's deep. I like the deep stuff, too. In Rita, you'll be our next caller. In my days of being a non-believer, you would probably not want to hang out to me. I'm the serious dude, right? I like to go to movies where when they roll the credits, you barely know you're there. And that's kind of what I love in parts of the Bible, even in Psalms. David, man, one day he's screaming God's praises. The next day he's desperate and can't function, right? Crying out to God. Bible is such a great book. My goodness. Rita in Santa Clarita. Hey, that kind of rings.
Hi.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Frank?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
So I got to meet you when you came to my church at Real Life, and what a blessing your life has been, and I thank you for the ministry. But I wanted to just talk about the giving thing that you had spoke just a few minutes ago. And one of the things that I did is I had set up my giving automatically online, back years ago. And because I'm still working and I still get paid from the school district, I decided I was going to double my contribution.
Wow.
And just, you know, like double it. Just because I know there are those that can't, but I'm in a position where I can. Now, my contribution isn't huge. I mean, just like what you were saying before, if you can give $5, you know, give five or two or whatever. But the other thing that I was thinking is that there's a whole homeless community that is not being taken care of. And so where I work at a local coffee shop. And they have allowed me to take the food that expires the night before to the Bridge to Home to donate to the homeless. So there's a whole other way that you can look outside of the box of giving. You know, I'll go to the farmer's market, I'll pick up oranges, I'll take them to my neighbor and drop them on their doorstep. You know, if you can share a little bit from your home to your neighbors, then that too is giving and showing Christ to your community.
Oh, without a doubt. Rita, thank you for being such an example. I know some of us were kind of locked in fear and isolation and can't go outside and we kind of just go through the day, but I don't know if you heard Pastor Josh at 3. He basically said, look, get out, obviously, and love people. I love what you said about doubling your giving, even if it's from $5 to $10, whatever it is. God knows our hearts and our motivations behind why we do what we do. Rita, thank you. I hope we talk again. We have a line open, 888-528-2557. No specific agenda other than if you want to check in, let us know how you are doing. We gratefully accept your call as well. Mike in Lakewood. Mike, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Good, Mike. What's going on?
Well, I just want to say I'm thankful still have a job at this time. And actually, I'm thankful more because now we have more time to be with the family. Yep. And like you said, read the word more. And it's doing something to a lot of people. You know what I mean?
I think I do. And there are many people nodding their heads listening as well. And maybe for some of us, it was a tough adjustment at the beginning. And now it's kind of becoming, well, my goodness, this is so wonderful. We get to reconnect again.
Yes, I do miss the church a lot. We do miss the church a lot. Me and my kids, we do miss the church a lot. But we're starting a new norm, I believe.
We're what? Say that again.
We're kind of starting a new norm by doing the online service. Yep. We cannot wait to go back to the normal service again and being a service to other people too, right?
Without a doubt. Mike, thank you. Thank you for your call. In radio, listeners come and go all the time, and I would be foolish to think the majority of you maybe even heard the interview last hour with Pastor Josh Thompson. By the way, you can go to kkla.com. I get emails all the time from people saying, hey, how can I download the podcast? Just go to our website, under podcast, find the show, and you can find all of the programs virtually right after. But one of the things that Pastor Josh said in relation to what was just shared, I think church is going to take on a whole new experience when we're able to go back to our buildings, if you will, right? And maybe worship and experience in a whole different way. I just can't help but think and believe and know on some level God's really up to something. One of my prayers is similar to kind of a prayer I got from a pastor that I know and hold in high regard. He had shared when this first began, he said, I believe this could become one of the greatest hours of the history of the church. And here's the part I really love. As we remain true to our faith in God, I believe he's going to do something that will confirm that we are his people and that he is our God. He's going to do something that will confirm. When you think about that, for me, so many times in my life when I pray, it's usually ascending or an asking prayer versus a receiving prayer, right? Like learning to listen to God's voice and prompts. And most of my prayers, you know, God, please help me here. Please do this. It's like this asking. And my prayers have really changed a lot recently. I wonder if yours have. But my prayers more so now in the middle of this, God, I just pray you reveal yourself to us. Show us how great you are, where it's undeniably you and not us. I'm 64, and Lord willing, I'll make it to 65 in July. And I've lived a lot in my life. I've seen a lot. And one of the things in my walk as a follower of Jesus, which is a little more than 10 years, I've kind of seen the perspective that we as human beings, we really think we are special. We buy into a lot of this, almost as if like secular humanism, which is alive and well right now, that it's almost as if we perceive us as being our own gods. Now hear me, I don't mean to offend. If you have a response, call me. But I'm talking about society as a whole. We've kind of turned our back on God. And the idea of we're so special and look how amazing we are. And look, I believe in the power of the human spirit, which is different from the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the human spirit dwarfs in relation to the power of the Holy Spirit. But as far as we go, yeah, we're capable of doing tremendous things. And we're probably right now in the middle of this, probably won't hear much about it in the mainstream because their message is doom and gloom and fear sells. But there are people right now doing heroic things, working extra hours, sacrificing themselves for the greater good in all of this. So I don't want to deny that we are created in God's image. Yes, we are sparks of the divinity as an expression. But I think we've kind of lost our way until recently, maybe, where we just think we're it. And God, we just kind of placate him. He's out there and I'm good today. I'm reminded of Johnny Erickson Tata, one thing she said, you know, even as Christians, we wake up in the morning, we kind of give him lip service and we move throughout the day and, you know, God, if I need you, I'll cry out to you, but I got this. I'm good. Versus something that at times is very uncomfortable. We're almost now being forced into an uncomfortable position of realizing that we don't have a whole lot of control in our lives, right? And this idea of looking to God, like, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. The truth being, the Bible says when we are most weak, he is most strong. When we are completely dependent on him, he is apt to reveal himself. And I just pray about the West here. Maybe you've been to other parts of the world and traveled and have participated in ministries where, oh, I don't know, pick a continent, pick a country, where people experience God in a whole different way than we do here in the West. Maybe because of all of our comforts and affluence and our lifestyle, we're so busy and distracted, right? Same God. It's not like the God of, I don't know, the continent of Africa is different from the God here of North America. God's God, but do we experience him? Do we know he is God? Are we still, right? Be still, know that I am God. Do we know that? That's part of my prayer now. God, reveal yourself. Please forgive us. May we be humble and contrite and lament, as N.T. Wright shared. Lament on these things. Use this time wisely. I've said this a number of times. In my quiet time with the Lord, he's revealed to me, and I believe it's from the Lord. This time shall pass. Use this time wisely right now. Right? Don't just mail it in or check out or veg out and get caught up on all the television programming you've missed. Don't abuse this time. Use this time wisely. Get closer to God. Ask him to lead you. And my goodness, if you don't know Jesus, I just pray that you just invite him in. I did read a study about 7% of those that were non-Christians said they've even started reading the Bible now, even though they don't necessarily believe the Bible. Jesus is the only answer. That's not done in a segregationist sort of way or an intolerant sort of way. He is the truth and the way and the life. That's it. Jesus is the answer. And I think for many of us Christians, and I'll end in a moment, many of us Christians, we give it lip service. But now here we are. It's all revealed. If you believe God is a great God, we'll thrive through this time. If you believe God is, well, kind of in a commodity and you put him in a little box, we're gonna have some struggles here. How say you? How are you? 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. Hey, if you don't know, speaking of the idea of watching churches online, we are bringing church to you. We know that some church services are struggling and maybe going online. If you listen to Sundays at 12 noon here on KKLA, you will be able to listen and see to some of the greatest pastors we have throughout the world as we bring church to you. Sundays at noon here on KKLA. Go to kkla.com for more information on our Sundays at noon services all throughout Southern California. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If we were being broadcast with a visual on television or video, I would put one of my right-hand guys on the spot right now as we play this bumper. One is kind of dancing around, and I would bet my last bottom dollar he has no idea who's singing that song. One of the greatest voices of all time. And by the way, I'm looking at two guys. They're a bit of the younger generation. And anyway, I lament right now. I wish we were on video. I wish you could see us. And anyway, for those of you that don't know, that was Billy Joe Royal. Fantastic song. Welcome back to the program. All right. We're going to bounce around a little bit in this final 30 minutes. One story that I had been meaning to convey to you, I don't know if you saw this or not. There are some things that are happening that are a bit unorthodox because of the times. And evidently, a morning anchor on MSNBC was interviewing T.D. Jakes. And as they were closing, at least it kind of looked like it wasn't planned, the announcer, his name is Craig Melvin, just asked Bishop Jakes if he would say a moment in prayer, and he kept emphasizing 30 seconds. Here's what happened.
Bishop, 30 seconds for folks who weren't able to get to church yesterday. I've never actually done this on the air. Can you lead us in prayer for 30 seconds?
Yes, I can. Our Father and our God, we bow our heads to you in humility, understanding that we are not competent in and of ourselves to handle this kind of global calamity. We look to you, Lord, to be the source, the strength, the help, the light that we need. Strengthen our first responders. Strengthen even our broadcast people. Strengthen all of us whose lives have been devastated and disrupted. And give us the peace that passes all understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Craig Melvin did say amen. I got chills. That's good stuff right there. Speaking of good stuff, we made reference to this yesterday, and I got a bunch of emails. New York Post is reporting that the coronavirus may not be as deadly as previously suggested, according to a new study that accounts now for cases that were not diagnosed. And this is published in probably the most prestigious medical journal, Lancet. In Monday's Lancet Infectious Diseases, and that part of the medical journal, the new projection is the estimated death rate will be about 0.66%, which is much lower than figures between 2 and 3.4%. Researchers said the lower coronavirus mortality rate was determined by accounting for cases that went undiagnosed, possibly because they were mild or had no symptoms. To do this, researchers used modeling based on the number of detected cases of people who were aggressively tested for the virus. In line with other studies, researchers also found that the majority of fatalities, sadly, were among adults ages 80 or older. And let me give a bit of a clarification at the end of that. That's promising news. But again, models, projections, predictions, prognostications, nobody really knows. And in a model, if you just tweak it a little bit, sometimes the overall numbers change dramatically. So I share that with you again. Be careful what you listen to and expose yourself to with the mainstream and what you believe is the case. We don't know. Stay focused in the here and now. Obviously, be wise, be discerning, make good judgments, and stay safe and stay at home if you can and all of that. But when you hear about numbers, I always am very suspicious. A story out of townhall.com by Bronson Stocking. I read this in the first hour in San Diego on the 2 o'clock hour, and I got an email from a listener that was really upset that Bronson Stocking uses the term Wuhan coronavirus, and the listener insisted that was racist and don't use those terms. I'm just reading from the study. This will also hopefully be a part of good news. Sunday, the Food and Drug Administration has granted hydroxychloroquine emergency use authorization. It comes amid a large clinical trial underway in New York. Growing evidence suggests the drug may be an effective treatment for patients infected with, and according to Bronson Stocking, he calls it the Wuhan coronavirus. Let me stop down. It'll be interesting to see. The mainstream will probably not report it, but there will be some that will, and I'll make sure and relay it on the air. As these clinical trials begin to unfold, it'll be interesting to see what happens in New York. We talked about Dr. Zelenko. I think it was early in the week, end of last week. 699 patients he treated with this, all within a matter of 5 days, all fine. Within a matter of 4 to 6 hours, their difficulty in breathing all went away. So there's promise here. Hydroxychloroquine is an inexpensive drug widely used since 1955 to treat malaria. Bronson Stocking writes, given the drug's relatively harmless side effects, doctors are already beginning to incorporate the drug in their treatment of coronavirus cases. President and New York Governor Cuomo have both expressed optimism over its efficacy. What else does this say? FDA is allowing drug makers to donate the medicine to the Strategic National Stockpile to be distributed and prescribed by doctors to those that are hospitalized as appropriate when a clinical trial is not available or feasible. Sandoz Pharmaceuticals donated 30 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. Drug maker Bayer donated 1 million doses of just chloroquine to the stockpile. And then there's a little bit of political overtones about how we still, it's still reflective in the whole political wars that are going on. Like somehow we just can't get together and say, okay, there's a greater threat here. Democrats, Republicans aren't your problem and vice versa, right? But as it applies to this, here's the last part of what Brandon Stocking writes. When the president expressed optimism about the relatively safe drug's potential used as treatment in this virus, Democrats like Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak moved to restrict access to the medicine. And then Stocking has a short, brief commentary at the end. He says, drug makers have already ramped up production of this in response to the increased demand. The focus at this point should be making more of this potentially life-saving drug, not restricting its use amid a global pandemic. The FDA's emergency authorization of hydroxychloroquine should allow drug makers to do just that. 888-528-2557. Our final segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Christian pro athletes. What about fear, worry, and anxiety? Pastor Greg Laurie weighs in. Also take your calls if you'd like to buzz us, 888-528-2557. And if you have not taken care of or taken advantage of the Community Listener Advantage Club that we offer here, what are you waiting for? You can enter contests, surveys, get tickets at discounted rates. It's really, really a sweet thing. The KKLA Community Listener Advantage Club. Just sign up. It's free. Go to KKLA.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, if you don't know by now, at 3 o'clock each and every day on this program, we begin with prayer. Sometimes I recite the prayer. Sometimes I'm inviting guests to come on. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Pastor Jack Graham will be my guest on the phone. He will open our hour in prayer as well. I had a thought on the break. Maybe we'll do this tomorrow. And just to kind of plant the seed, if you are a regular listener, maybe tomorrow on the program, we can broach the, what are you most looking forward to when all of this is said and done? Right? I had a funny moment earlier. I had Pastor Josh Thompson on. He, very outdoorsy kind of guy, goes surfing a lot, and he's been threatening to take me surfing for a long time, as is my one of my good friends, one of my earlier pastors, Britt Merrick, and I've never been on a surfboard. So I think tomorrow when we open the phones and we'll ask you the question, what are you most looking forward to? I think I'll chime in. I'm going to get on a surfboard this summer. I wish it was right now, don't we all? Hey, the country of Panama, there's an interesting story KTLA locally is reporting on. Panama is now taking a bit of unorthodox steps as they kind of weigh through how they are dealing with COVID-19. Starting on Wednesday, only women will be able to leave their homes to buy necessities. That's starting today, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Only women are allowed out of the house. Tuesdays and Thursdays, only men, and Saturdays. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, women only allowed out. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, only men. Sundays, everyone has to stay at home, government enforced. That's the country of Panama. There are some Christian pro athletes that are weighing in on how maybe best to spend our time. And it was led by a guy that's been on this program before, Benjamin Watson. He's now retired from the NFL. Very, very outspoken Christian. And he interviewed, for the most part, three Christian professional athletes. And they're all telling us, use the downtime to grow closer to God. Be intentional. Retired National Football League tight end Ben Watson moderated the episode of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Huddle Up on YouTube. Lasted 37 minutes. Also involved NFL quarterback Luke McCown, Rams receiver Brandon Cooks, and Cardinals all-star pitcher Adam Wainwright. They all talked about how they are using this unexpected downtime to grow in faith. Wainwright, you may not know, we talked about it on the program. He's leading a one-year online Bible study to over 16,000 of his Twitter followers. He also shared in this time with Ben Watson, quote, in this time, there's a lot of negativity around. This is the time we can spend encouraging others to make us look different. Luke McCown is a Louisiana Tech standout who played 10 seasons in the NFL, mostly as backup positions. He stressed that it's important to realize that God either allowed or ordained this situation. But above all, this is not accidental. Look to God above all. He also said he referenced something he heard Greg Laurie say a few weeks back. Quote, a family can survive without a nation, but a nation cannot survive without the family. McCown said, I thought, man, that is never more true than right now, where God is causing everything to slow down. He wants us to pull into each other and engage with one another around the dinner tables, around the board games, around the movie night schedule, whatever it is. We've kind of lost art of that, that discipline of engaging as a family, end quote. And then Brandon Cooks weighed in, was married a little more than a year ago. He says he and his wife are both reading through various parts of the Bible and really getting into the Old Testament. He said, it's been awesome from that aspect because now my wife knows how to challenge me in a way she didn't know how to challenge me before. Good stuff. You can find that at ChristianPost.com. Speaking of Pastor Greg Laurie, who's up in just a moment with A New Beginning, I close with a piece he wrote for Christian Headlines. At least it was picked up at Christian Headlines. I'm sure he wrote this and it's picked up all over. Pastor Greg writes, worry and anxiety, they're everything right now, and many of you have felt them. I know I have. He says certain words and phrases trigger fear, such as pandemic, shelter in place, quarantine. We begin to play the what if game. Pastor Greg says we panic asking, what if this happens? What if that happens? We have to be concerned. We have to be diligent. This is a serious virus, but we don't have to panic. Pastor Greg says, did you know the word worry comes from the old English root word worgon, which means to strangle or to choke? He says, worry squeezes the life out of us. But Jesus said, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to your span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6:27-34. Pastor Greg writes, one of my personal heroes, Corey Ten Boom, put it this way. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Pastor Greg says, how should we respond to this global health crisis? Replace worry with fear. We must fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, pure, lovely, and admirable. When feeling afraid or worried or anxious, turn to the presence of our Heavenly Father. Instead of listening to or reading the news as soon as we open our eyes in the morning or before we go to sleep at night, we can start or end our day with prayer or a Bible reading. We can meditate on the hopeful words that God Himself gives us. And finally, turn our worry into worship. When anxious thoughts come sweeping into our minds, uninvited, unwelcome, we can sweep them back out with praise. Listen to worship music, sing songs, create works of art, do whatever we do when we express our love for and awe of God. There will always be something that will frighten us in this life, Pastor Greg Laurie writes, but in these uncertain days, we can take the time to count our blessings and thank God for His divine provision and protection. We do not have to be filled with fear, anxiety, and worry. If you would like to email me, I welcome your emails. Please do so. Reach out. Let me know how I can help you, serve you. Just check in with me. How are you doing? If you need prayer, franksontag@kkla.com. Speaking of Pastor Greg, he'll be next with A New Beginning. This is the Frank Sontag Show.